I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Mike, check. Mike, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Nigger.
With the hardy R, can you hear me, or would you like me to use the A?
She stood in front of my desk with her hands resting on her hips. She was like a gazelle, her long, lean limbs quivering in anticipation of wherever she would dart off. What about your work? You were sick, and you've taken other time off this summer. After Jenny's death, we both knew what she was referring to. Can't imagine you're caught up. Actually, I have no donations in limbo. I'm up to date on all stewardship process on all stewardship processes for previous donations, and Russell has already confirmed that he can cover for me while I'm away. It's a big ask, she said. If she thought this was a big ask, then my chances of switching up to an 80% schedule were nil. I sighed and leaned back in my chair. Well, at least now I knew. I closed my eyes for a moment, thinking about what she said about my future and development. When I opened my eyes again, she was still staring at me. Yolanda, I said as evenly as I could manage, you're a good supervisor, and I'm a good employee. A great employee, some would say. Because of that, we've always gotten along, and together we've done excellent work, but if I'm going to keep doing excellent work, I need to hit pause for more than 2 days. I looked at her, amazed she was still listening and seemed to have no plans to interject. I continued, as you may recall, I'm still dealing with the death of my closest friend, and I never really gave myself time to grieve. In fact, aside from major holidays when the office is down, I haven't been out for more than 3 concurrent days since my last maternity leave. So I'm asking you to please overlook policies and procedures this one time and let me take a week off, a week of my month of unused vacation time, so I can go get my head on straight. I expect a full update before you leave, she said, still doing the wide stand superwoman pose she was so fond of. Really? I said, unable to hide my glee. She eyed me knowingly. Yes, Penelope, I tell you to get your head on straight, but I'm not sure what that's what you need. Go enjoy your time off. As soon as Yolanda was gone, I let out a breath I hadn't realized I'd been holding. Then I reached for my phone and sent a message to Sanjay. How would you feel about some company in New York? Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
We're live on a Wednesday night, recapping the end of the week. Walking Dead to recap today.
Nope.
So it's just more news and silliness and dumb shit. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. You guys know the vibes. We appreciate those. Keep in mind, Woo-hoo! You guys all sitting at home on quarantine. Some of you working from home and you don't have to work right now. You know, can't leave the house, whatever. Go ahead and leave us a 5-star review before Trump open up the economy next week. Like, we really need these 5-star reviews because, you know, after this, many of us won't be here to leave 5-star reviews if this fool gets his way. So leave it now.
Leave it now for the corona knows that. Maybe to leave it.
Yeah, leave us a 5-star corona review. We appreciate that. It's serious, guys. Come 5 on. Stars, iTunes, Stitcher. Let us know how you feel about the show. We love reading those on our feedback episodes, and we get so many people live in the chat and stuff like now. If you're live in the chat and you haven't left us a 5-star review, go ahead and think about doing that, man. We need that. All right. The official weapon of the show is
the taser
and an unofficial sport, a bullet ball extreme. And that excerpt was from I'm Fine and Neither Are You. Why can't I remember her name? Camille something. I'll open it back up. But yeah, I thought that part was actually pretty good because it's about how I feel like a lot of employees feel in America now. You know, you've worked hard, you've earned your time off, you've done all the things right. Many of us don't take enough time off. You let it stockpile and you lose it over years, or you do all kinds of stuff, you work yourself to the bone, and then you feel guilty or bad when you need to take time off. And then the way the system is set up, it's like you have to pretty please your way into some time off, you know. And you know, if your boss rejects it, which, you know, you hope never happens, but you know, in those instances where your boss is like, no, you can't have this time off, there is this feeling of like, but I fucking earned this. And many of us silently just go back to our cubicles and fucking take it, right? We just, I guess I can't take that summer vacation. I guess I can't go on my girls trip this year. I guess, you know, whatever. And I like part of the chapter where Penny stands up to her boss, you know, and it wasn't like a respectful thing, but it's the kind of people don't do a lot of times, advocating for ourselves in a workplace environment.
it's very hard to do, particularly for women. I'll just say, like, mm-hmm. not and some men too, but for women it's really, really hard to advocate for yourself, because the system is designed, the system was never designed for women to be in the workplace in the first place. That's why laws and policies and procedures aren't kid friendly. They aren't maternity leave friendly. They aren't breastfeeding friendly, because women were never actually meant to be there in the first place. And it's also one of the things too, to where I know we talked about, the kind of touched on this before, where I used to be that employee, but I'm to the point where you tell me I work so many hours, you give me PTO, which is my paid time off that I earned, which means if I didn't come in here, I would not get this time. So it's my time, and I should be able to take my time when I want to take my time. And I do understand the thing about, put it like this. Jobs, I've learned over the years, jobs never prepare for people to take time off. So instead of them doing things like teaching two or three or four people how to do the fucking same thing, you have one person knows how to do that one job, so that if that person leaves out, nothing gets done when that person's out. So then they act like nobody else can do the job but you. But that's not true. Even at my last job, I started taking more time off, particularly towards the time I was leaving. I was taking time off left and right about the last three, four months. I don't even think I worked the whole week straight, because I was like, you know what, it's my time, I'm taking my time off.
Well, I find interesting, yeah, definitely for women, but I'd say the average, like, even your, I think women is a societal thing that extends beyond just work. Mm-hmm. Women are supposed to accommodate, you right. know, men are supposed to go be the ones that take up space, women are supposed to shrink, you know. So if a man wants to take a vacation, then there's a woman somewhere that's got to take up for him, right? But you know, obviously it does extend to, in a workplace, it can extend to anybody, you know, like, it's the mentality of corporate America, something that was founded off of slavery, you know, right. This idea of owe us, you know, we pay you, we own you. And you know, workplaces can oftentimes take such extreme advantage of that,
yes.
that you end up feeling like, you know, I don't have any rights here. I'm just lucky to have a job. I didn't earn this check. This is a check that I, what am I going to do? And that situation outside of work is so dire, right? The average American doesn't have $400 for an emergency. Mm-mm. The average American is one paycheck away from chaos. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have people that are in this situation where you're feeling outside of work, you come into work and you don't even want the things that you were promised. Keep in mind, these are the things that were told to you to lure you to get the
right.
job. Hey, vacation. Hey, we got, you know, maternity leave, paternity leave. We have, you know, these rights, this insurance. We have disability. We have all these things that you're supposed to be able to say, this is a benefit of this job. And yet at the same time, we have this feeling inside that's like, don't use this shit or you will be expendable. The other thing that's interesting is, while you said, you know, that jobs don't really make sure that there's a place in a plan in place to make sure that you have like, oh, so-and-so needs to be out, someone should take up the slack, right? It's not true. Because why else do we feel so scared about being fired all the time? Right? Because they do have a plan. They make you feel at once expendable and at the same time, essential. Right? And I mean essential in a bad way. Essential like how we have employees who are essential now, who essentially what we really mean is, we're not going to pay you anything extra, but you do risk COVID-19 in order for us to run this economy, right? So it's just kind of interesting what you, like the things you were saying, because I'm like, yeah, all that shit is so real.
And that's true. And the thing is, even if, you know, particularly at my last job, they did this big thing where they cross-trained everybody so that people could take time off and things like that. And my thing is, yeah, they have a plan, even with that one person, that they can right. fire you and they'll put somebody else in there and keep it trucking. They don't care if the policies and procedures aren't followed, you mm-hmm. know, push comes shove. Your manager will get in there and do the job, even if they halfway know how to do the job. Mm-hmm. It will get done with or without you. And once I came to the, put like this, I came to the understanding that I signed a contract, and we both can void the contract at any period of time. They can void the contract at any period of time. North Carolina is a right to work state, so they can come in at any time and be like, you know what, we don't need you today, and there's nothing I can actually fight against it. And so once I wrapped that around my mind, why am I sacrificing and the job is never sacrificing for me? Mm-hmm. Why always the one giving up, accommodating, shifting my hours, saying yes to everything, and it's not reciprocated? And a lot of that is just, it varies on the culture of your company. Because where I'm at now, it's completely different. So I know the culture of the company and the structure of the company. Like they say, they want you to feel like you're the most important thing there, but at the same time, make you feel like you're not that important. And at a lot of, particularly jobs like that, mm-hmm. most people don't excel. Or the ones that do excel, they work to death. You know, most people like me at my other job, I was like, oh, you're gonna get the, what do I have to do just not to be fired? Oh, that's it. Well, that's all you're getting out of me. You're not getting anything above the bare minimum.
Because when you do, you know, overachieve, quote unquote, when you are excellent, they don't necessarily make you feel excellent.
No.
And that's the thing that Penelope went through in the book, was she was really stressed about work, but she was actually like knocking it out of the park. And even as you're knocking it out of the park, here you are feeling like a certain level of, you know, fear every day. Like, I'm not doing a good enough job. They're going to fire me. Should I leave? Should I, you know, I'm not going to get the promotion. I can't take vacation. Everything is so fucking important. I have to be here for every meeting, everything. And the next thing you know is you're ruining your marriage. You're not being in your children's life the way you're supposed to. You're not having a personal life. You can't maintain friendships because everything is revolving around this job. And this job is a place where you actually are being, you know, you feel demeaned. You're not actually feeling value. In those other places, you might be able to feel value with your family, with your friends, with your relationship. You know, those are places you may find value, but you know, that internal value, that thing that boosts you up, that boosts your head up. And here's a place where, yeah, you do get paid, but it's like you get paid and the whole time you're getting cucked.
Yeah. And for a lot of people, particularly the older you get, and I've been through this, where you do that and you work, you feel like you're valuable, and guess what? They'll hand you a pink slip just like any fucking body else. You mm-hmm. actually are not that important. Mm-hmm. You're not that important. That's very hard for people to wrap their minds around. And that's why when people get laid off of jobs they've been at forever, or they've been the superb employee or the best of the manager, and they get these people get sad, people get depressed, because we talked about this before. America attaches value with your job, and that's stupid. Because the thing is, no matter how much money you make or what the job calls for you to do, if at any period of time they can walk through there and give you a piece of paper, a lot of and a lot of companies that they do this false illusion of bring you in, talking about we're family. We're not family.
Well, yeah. I mean, you might be family. Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of people, family is dysfunctional.
Correct.
Like, it's so funny that people, anytime somebody says it's a family environment, I'm like, that might not mean what you think it means. Mm-mm. Not everybody has a great family.
Come on.
Like, you know who else is in your family? That one hotep uncle. You know who else is in your family? That one motherfucker that's transphobic and homophobic. That, you know, the motherfucker that votes Republican is in your family. You can't do shit about it because it's in your family. Nobody ever brings up that part of right. It's a family environment. They always make it sound like a positive thing. I'm like, nigga, not every family is a good family.
Yeah, there's dysfunctional families. Like families are literally all over the place. People got family members they haven't talked to in years.
Right.
They disown,
abuse
like,
them, all kinds right. of shit.
And those people are in your working environment also. So the thing is, no, I got a family. The contractual obligation is you pay me to be here. If you stop paying, I stop showing up. That's the end of the contract as far as I'm concerned.
Especially now that you have health insurance, not now, it's always been this way, but when you have health insurance through your employer,
right,
that's one of the reasons people feel like validated by having a job, but also you need to have a job. You know, you can't be without health care, you can't be without some of the, you know, the even in this underpaying, you know, you like it's better than nothing. So yeah, that's one of the reasons people feel that way.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases.
Yeah, and also I think a lot of the reason why I personally think that they won't actually separate it and won't actually allow people to have universal health care, because a lot of people quit their fucking jobs, or either they would move or do some of the shit that they want to do, but they're stuck and they're staying because they know that they have to, because the insurance is linked to their job.
Companies actually have to start paying people, treating people right if that happens.
Right.
You know, and we can't have that. And that's why I voted for Bernie Sanders, guys. All right. I'm just kidding, guys. Everybody knows I voted for Elizabeth Warren.
Me too.
All right, let's get into the song. Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow. All right, I guess it's time to get into the show, okay? A lot of stuff has been happening. Okay. All right. I got my soup in the background, smelling up the house.
Claire, I can't wait to get a hold of it.
Mm-hmm. I tried something different for the coronavirus segment, okay? I just put coronavirus in Spotify, and there's all kinds of people that have songs called coronavirus, which, oh, wow.
I did not know this.
That ain't a statement on the world.
Right?
Here's
coronavirus!
Oh, they put this on Spotify?
Hey.
I did not know putting those on Spotify. That's some shit I always see on like TikTok and fucking Twitter and shit. Wow.
Like that.
And I Mark Eyes is the name of the artist. And yeah, they put a lot of their shit on here.
Mm.
But it's not getting that many hits. Coronavirus got 2.5 million plays. But they also got It's Above Me Now.
It's Above Me Now. I'm sorry, but I was on the phone when you said it.
I said I'm sorry.
It's Above Me Now.
I said I'm sorry.
I was on the phone when you said it. I was on the phone when you said it. It's Above Me Now. Above Me Now.
Hey.
It's Above Me Now. Above Me Now. Above Me Now. Above Me Now. I was on the phone when you said it.
Oh, that's grand.
We'll make a jam out of any damn thing,
won't we? Anyway, coronavirus. Let's talk about it. Over 50 colleges dropped SAT and ACT exam requirements for fall 2021.
Yay.
Due to coronavirus.
So you know what that tells you? That shit wasn't that fucking important, no way.
So coronavirus is gonna get us to the socialist utopia that people said, right? Bernie was gonna get us.
It's erasing the bullshit, because all jokes aside, in my opinion, those tests are very difficult. Those tests people that have a hard time reading or disadvantaged score very low on those tests. And also, you have motherfuckers cheating.
Well, they're white tests.
Right.
They've been proven to be racially biased and shit.
So, no.
I mean, I did great in them. And, you know, it's kind of weird because I'm like the blackest guy everyone knows. But I was able to just take those SATs when I was a ninth grader, actually. And, it still ended up, I think it was with a 1460, something like that, some high ass number. You know, I forget now, guys, because it's not that important. But
right, it ain't, you know, that important. It, you really had no money bearing and shit like that to take the test multiple times.
Yeah, they're classes and races essentially. I don't know how, right, I was able to code switch into such a high GPA, a high score.
And they long and they boring, and I was like, I don't give a fuck. I've never seen, what kind of fucking math is this?
Has nothing to do with how good you are in school, because I know Karen did way better than me in school. I was lazy and fucking all kinds of shit. Not focused. Indiana congressman says letting Americans die to reopen the economy is the lesser of two evils.
Bitch, no, no.
How is letting people die the lesser of two evils?
Because you unless don't have to
you
die.
Value unless you only value money over people's lives.
Correct.
Think about that. Letting people die less evil than shutting down the economy. The Republican representative is Trey Hollingsworth of Indiana's 9th congressional district.
Y'all remember that name and vote him out.
He made the comments during an appearance on the radio on Tuesday. It's policymakers' decision to put our big boy and big girl pants and say it's the lesser of these two evils. He said, reopening the economy is not zero evil, but it's lesser of those two evils, and we intend to move forward that direction. That is our responsibility, and to abdicate that is to insult Americans that voted us into office. He joins a group of people. Yeah, that's becoming a big movement. And helmed by Donald Trump, in my opinion. Because of his, listen, the Republicans are evil. They will fall in line with this man. He says what they want to say, but without the filter. And while, you know, the media is playing these live press conferences and pretending to be outraged and shit, or still being, you know, shocked at everything that comes out of his mouth,
right,
these people are happy because he's saying the silent part out loud. And, you know, they join him in chorus, and they're like, yeah, we should let people die if it means that I can go to a restaurant. I'd rather go to a restaurant and some people in the restaurant will get sick and die. All of us will be sick over and over repetitively, possibly.
Right.
And as long as my stocks are looking good on a sheet of paper that I get sent quarterly.
And that's not going to matter, because if people keep getting sick, eventually we get to the point where there's going to be no fucking body to work. It makes no sense.
Right. And the thing is, you'll find people that go, well, they're beholden to big corporate interest and it's the lobbyists and shit. It's not that, man, because if you knew for a fact you could die from some shit, you wouldn't promote it. You wouldn't be like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. They believe this with their heart of hearts. They honestly think the only old people and black people are dying. I think black people being hit hardest by this was, to me, a flare. A signal just shot into the air for white supremacists to be like, let's go ahead and start the economy back. Because the only people dying is black and brown people at the highest rates.
We don't care.
We're okay with that. Because they think it's still just elderly white people and then black and brown people of all race, all stripes dying. And they're like, yeah, we'll lose them. That's fine.
Yeah, don't realize that what affects us affects you too. We all live in the same world.
Right. There's no harm choice here. There's no zero harm choice here. We are going to have to look at Americans in the eye and say, we're making the best decision for the most Americans possible. The answer to that is to get the Americans back to work, to get Americans back to their businesses. Of course, medical experts disagree, but who the fuck listens to medical experts? Republicans haven't listened to scientists in decades.
Right, because it does not matter. And the thing is, even if you tell people to go back to work, you think people are going to jump out there? You think certain jobs are going to be like, we don't give a fuck what y'all say, y'all still work from home?
Yeah, well, it's just I think what's funny about this is it will really come down to the average worker being like, no, that's what it's going to take. And I think it will also be a testament to the corporations on how much they listen to the president. Because the thing for these corporations is, whether the president says it's a good idea or not, you getting people sick and your employees dying is not really good business.
It's not. So
even if Donald Trump were to say, like, I'm opening the economy up, you're not going to have the people who work even Wall Street Wall Street, the place he's most worried about. They're not going to be able to go back down to that that room where they all like yell and stand, you know, right, literally inches from each other to buy stocks. They're not going to be able to do that. So like all of this shit makes no sense. This idea that like he will just be the guy who rings the bell, says Ollie Ollie Oxen Free, and everyone goes back to work. It's a nonsensical thing to even like. The vision they have in their head is a ridiculous vision.
Because at my job we have these daily meetings. They're not long, and my boss and stuff, she kind of informs us, and she was telling us that she actually thinks that they're, you know, my job is leading much later on into the year before they bring people back.
Yeah,
they was like, it might be June or later. Like, that's what they was telling us. They right. was like, be prepared to be at home for a few more months, because you like, they like, she was saying our building has almost 1,000 people in it, David. She was like, and people have been at home, and we don't know what people been, and there's nowhere in the world they're going to bring that many people clustered in a building that big.
Yeah, and these movements are mostly older and white and male, you know, the most anti-science among us. Governor Kemp suspends Georgia's anti-mask law amid pandemic. Sounds like a good idea, right? Now, of course, Governor Kemp is the guy who stole the Georgia election from Stacey Abrams.
Mm-hmm. The law, ain't that the same dude they're talking about? I didn't know that people what did he say, something really stupid that everybody else knew.
He didn't know that asymptomatic people could pass coronavirus.
Yes.
Yeah. So Brian Kemp, he went ahead and said, hey, look, I'm going to go ahead and repeal suspend this anti-mask law. Now, the law was originally passed decades ago to unmask the Ku Klux Klan. Coronavirus deaths have topped 500 in the state. The Georgia Department of Public Health reported Tuesday that 524 people have died from the virus-related causes, and confirmed infections rose to more than 14,500. Kemp signed an executive order Monday declaring the mask worn to safeguard against the virus are exempt from the 1951 law that makes it a misdemeanor in Georgia for people to conceal their identities while on public property. Yeah, that makes sense. It's just funny because that law is, that's basically an anti-KKK law, and Brian Kemp is the one being like, I'll suspend it, and it's like, yeah, it's on brand as well. Mm-hmm. I want to see if anyone with a KKK hood is going to just pull that bad boy out and be like, no, it's about avoiding the virus, guys.
Guarantee you, eventually we'll see it. People get bored enough.
Americans are streaming 8 hours of content a day during coronavirus lockdowns.
That makes sense.
A new survey found the average person is currently streaming 8 hours of content per day and finishing 3 different television series every week.
We're knocking them out.
I'm in this group.
Everybody was like, "Ooh, I get to catch up on everything now."
I ain't getting 8 hours a day for the most part because I'm play a lot of video games, and
yeah, I've been playing.
We
video
obviously
games.
Do the podcast from the house and stuff, but nigga, I am knocking it out, okay?
Boy.
And I'm killing these documentaries.
Boy, everybody, once quote unquote everybody get back to work, everybody gonna be ready for all the new shows.
I watched the Unabomber in His Own Words on Netflix the other day. All 4 of those.
How was that?
I mean, it was good because I never knew that much about the Unabomber. Ted Kaczynski was crazy. Only part I didn't like was near the end where they tried to do this weird thing of like, you know, if he wouldn't have just been bombing and killing people, he made some good points. I'm like, only white people get that, right?
Come on.
Black terrorists, we never gonna get that. Black people out here killing people and shit, you're never gonna be like, you know what? If it wasn't for all the sniping, the dude that the DC snipers had some good points about society. Like, ain't it great to be white? It must be the best. But yeah, I watched that. You know, one thing that I have been struggling with is my long form reading. I haven't done as much of that lately. I'm still like basically where I left off in my book before the lockdown started. But I was way ahead of my schedule. I mean, that's a modest schedule, guys. Obviously, some of you guys read much more prolifically than me.
Right.
But I had put in, like, I want to read at least a book a month. And I was, I don't know, I read like 4 books in January. So I was like, oh, I can take a month off. So I've been reading, but I have been reading comic books. I've been reading a lot of comic books. I read it's one series called Invaders about Namor, from Marvel. It was a good ass series. So anyway, that's what I'm up to.
Oh, and I learned that March was the first month that nobody released a comic book.
Yeah, they shut that down. which gave me a chance to catch up like everything else. Let's see. Thousands of protesters at Michigan Capitol against state stay-at-home orders.
So they're gonna have a spike, right? Because I'm pretty sure nobody was practicing.
They weren't.
Right. So all of a sudden they're gonna have a spike and people roll up to the hospital. Okay. All right.
And if you're asking, yes.
Yeah.
They were.
And if you're asking, no, we weren't.
Yeah. It was all white people, and for some reason, y'all, they had their guns out.
I wonder why.
What does the guns have to do with social distancing and coronavirus? This fucking country and its infatuation with guns is so fucking sick, man. It's sick. It doesn't make any sense. Gun sales have been going through the roof in this, and it makes no fucking sense. Everyone's at home. What the fuck is the point?
Are you gonna shoot the virus?
Like, do you think, yeah, coronavirus is not weak to bullets? Like, what are you talking about?
Coronavirus will touch you and your bullets.
It's not longer than anything.
So you gonna get it trying to put your bullet in.
Are y'all coughing on bullets before you shoot them? It makes no fucking sense what people are doing. And this idea of defying social distancing as some sort of statement is also crazy to me.
Yeah, until you get sick or somebody gets sick. And a lot of them don't, put like this, they don't even care if they die. They don't care if their family members die. They like, fuck it, I want to go to work until I die. Well,
they don't care when they die. They'll care then when they're sick and shit. When it's not true, but then no one will remember them. Everyone forgets those people. You know, it's the pastor dying at church. So other people are going to go to church this Sunday. Be ready.
Right.
You know, other people are going to be like, well, yeah, that's, I don't know what happened with him, but you know, I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I'm going back to church. You know, it's like there's like five states or so that don't even have lockdown right now. Like this is an issue, you know, and essentially they're willing to let people die in order to prove some type of weird point.
Yeah, and people are willing to die. That's my thing. They're willing to die. Like their own.
I don't think these people are actually willing to die, Karen. That's my thing. I think they are gonna die.
Right.
I don't think they have really. I think they think they're not gonna die. It's like the people that go to church. They're not saying I'm willing to die for the coronavirus. They're going, I'm not gonna be the one who dies.
Right, until you or your family member. Right. One of my coworkers was sharing today that one of his friends stays with his parents and was one of these quote unquote essential workers. Mm-hmm. Had to go back and forth to work. Ended up getting coronavirus, gave it to his dad, and his dad passed yesterday. So this goes to tell you that the shit is real, my niggas.
Right. This is crazy to me. Thousands of drivers caused havoc around the building in Lansing and backed traffic up for a mile, but hundreds defied pleas from organizers to stay in their cars by heading to the Capitol steps to vent their anger at the stringent policies. So even the organizers of the protest said, hey guys, we need to practice social distancing. We do want to let them know it's time to open up the economy, open up the businesses, but we'll be practicing social distancing hopefully at these businesses, and that'll help. And instead, these motherfuckers got out their cars and was like, we're not even doing social distancing. Mm-mm. Fuck that. We're gonna stand united in coughing arms with our guns out to make a statement.
Right, and that's the whole point, and that's why when people say dumb shit like we need to open up the economy tomorrow, I was like, no, because all that's going to happen is that people are just going to get infected, reinfected, people are going to die, and you know, people are already, you know, looking at the numbers going up, and they're like, oh, they're going down. Well, when you have people show up to this march, I bet you the medical people and the doctors and stuff in those areas going, well, goddamn, now in another 2 weeks we're gonna have a few hundred people that's going to be flooding our hospitals.
Yep. And I put it on the screen, guys. Look at this group shot, look at who's in this group. I mean, we're talking nothing but white men. And why do they have big ass like machine guns and shit? Like, what is the point of that?
Intimidation.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with it. My favorite people are the ones wearing masks and machine guns.
Right.
Like, do you believe in your shit or not? Why is there a Trump Pence sign there? What does that have to do with anything? You know, you're in Michigan. What does Trump Pence have to do with social distancing and ending the lockdown? You know? Hal Whitmer, this is a Nazi sign, I guess, trying to say that Whitmer is Hitler for telling people to to trying to stop people from getting this disease.
Right, we're trying to save lives, and y'all like, fuck that.
This woman has a Hal Whitmer sign trying to mock her for that. In the background, there's a Trump Pence sign. Some actual Nazis. Like, this is crazy to me. What's the American flag? Everyone here bought all the American flag gear, apparently, that was on sale at Walmart. Okay?
Right.
While not social distancing. Make America great again. This woman has on a hoodie that says make America great again, an American flag, free Michigan, Trump 2020, impeach Whitmer, not Trump though. Like, these motherfuckers right here are so stupid. But this is the shit I talk about when I tell you America's not a liberal place.
No,
you know, I love my people and their progressive ideas. I share their ideas, but I think that because we can surround ourselves with like-minded people on the internet, there's just become this like complete illusion that we're just in this very liberal situation where, you know, we can throw a couple of polls on the internet and be like, look guys, everyone loves liberal ideas. And it's like, no, there's a reason that Bernie Sanders is never gonna win the Democratic primary. Like, there's like nobody, like y'all just believe this shit and you think there's no opposition to it. These people exist and they're real and they're stupid enough to show up
yes,
and get coronavirus to prove it. This is crazy.
Right. And the thing is, people are slow to change. And that's what it is, what it is when it comes to people. People do believe in change and things like that, but it is a crawl.
The point I'm trying to make isn't about whether or not these motherfuckers will change. I don't think a lot of people are going to change. The thing is, these motherfuckers vote.
Yes, they do, in large numbers.
These motherfuckers vote. So while you hemming and hawing over getting the perfect motherfucking candidate, these motherfuckers are voting and they're stupid enough to show up in not social distance, and they bring their guns to the Capitol Hill and all this shit. They do that. And you sit around and hem and haw and talk about the lesser of two evils. They think the lesser of two evils is letting you die.
And themselves.
They
too.
Think that's the lesser of two evils. The economy is over everything. And you're sitting around mad because your coronavirus check is coming, but your bank can grab it. If you owe money to the bank, they can actually they made it legal where they can take money out of the direct deposit from the IRS. The checks are beginning to appear in America's bank accounts. We haven't gotten ours. The funds will be wired to eligible recipients who previously authorized the IRS to post their refunds through direct deposit. This will feed the relief, blah, blah, blah. But the money may not make it into your hands of those who need to pay bills, buy food, or just survive amid mass unemployment and widespread suffering. Individuals might first have to fend off their own bank, which has just been given the power to seize the $1,200 and use it to pay off outstanding debt.
Yeah, right. Because for those y'all that don't know, I was of the generation where they could charge you as much as they want to, but Obama didn't do nothing though, right? Right? Obama.
Well, not just that, but if I owe you money, first of all, what Karen's trying to say is Obama changed the way that the banks fee people,
right,
for late fees and for overdraft fees. It's okay. And so that's one of the Obama administration rules that, of course, he never did nothing for nobody, blah, blah, blah. That's one of the ones that actually really helped a lot of just average Americans, because what banks would do in the past is, let's say you made three transactions, right? You have $3 left in your bank account, right? You make three transactions. You make a $1.50 transaction for a candy bar. You make another dollar transaction because you went to the dollar store and got something. Now, technically, you have $3 in the bank account, right? So you should be able to take out $1.50 and take out another dollar and have 50 cents left over.
Mm-hmm.
And then you made that third transaction. Now that's the one that put you over the line. Let's say the third transaction was for $3.40. You wrote a check somewhere, right? Here's the thing. They take the $3.40 check, they make it post first.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you're already overdrawn. There's a $35 fee. Then they post a dollar transaction and a $1.50 transaction, hitting you for fees again. So back in the day before he changed his rule, you would get hit with three overdraft fees for three different things. He changed it so that you can't do that shit anymore.
Yeah, they used to have computers that would actually just go and like scan it, but like, what's the way we can get all the fees?
Yeah. So anyway. that's just insane. Scientists report the last thing I was gonna say, people that owe money to the bank are the people that need the fucking money the most.
Right, so y'all gonna eat it up and leave me with less.
Scientists report first instance of COVID-19 spreading from an infected dead body.
The
virus is transmitted from the corpse to a medical examiner working in Thailand.
Oh, that's not good. I know in some places, some funeral homes are like, we're not doing the bodies.
Okay. This is the first report of COVID-19 infection and death among medical personnel and forensic medical medicine unit, said a study released on Sunday. We don't know if it's a trend, if it's just a one-time thing. Maybe he got it from something else. I don't know, but just throwing it out there, letting you guys know. Warren Buffett, Goldman Sachs partner to fly in 130,000 masks to Mount Sinai.
Yes, if they get there.
I think it did. That was weeks ago. Oh, okay. That was like last week. Seven protesters arrested outside a Greensboro abortion clinic for violating stay-at-home order.
I have nothing else to do.
They gotta stop the babies from being killed, Karen. And it's worth coronavirus, apparently.
And you know what? I forgot this road, but it's this road I go up when I go to the Y. And actually, I didn't know it was an abortion clinic, like, around that area, because it just was like a normal, regular-ass building. But somebody would actually stand out there with big old signs of dead fetuses. And I was like, the fuck is that? And why are they standing out there? Then I was like, oh, they must be protesting. I was like, you don't have anything else to do?
They never do. Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively donated $400,000 to New York hospitals. You know what, guys? I forgive you for the plantation wedding. All right, it's a long time ago, and you guys really just didn't understand, and it happens. You know.
I was on the phone when you said it. I was on the phone when you said it. I was on the phone when you said it. It's above me now. Above me now. Above me.
I did not mean to do that.
It's but, above you now.
Yeah. But yeah, y'all showed up, so you know what, guys? Welcome to the cookout. We can go ahead and go to that plantation. Set up a little area for the cookout. Let me put the grill over here by this old slave house. Colorado mayor faces furious backlash after dismissing coronavirus concerns and daring someone to spit in his mouth.
What?
Maybe he's just his fetish.
I about to say.
Maybe he just into that. He's acting like it's coronavirus related, but he just into getting spit in his mouth.
I mean, that's his thing.
Why don't you pretty one? We all pretty young ladies come over here. I proved that. I don't care about coronavirus. Why don't you come over here and spit in my mouth, okay? And why, yeah, why don't you step on my balls? Just step on my balls just a little bit in some high heels. Mm-hmm. I want somebody to come over and spit in my mouth so I can get in the hospital now because I'm not going to die, he said.
Bold.
Yeah. Citizens obviously were outraged.
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesday, suggested long-term impacts of extended stay-at-home and business closing orders might be worse than initial illnesses and deaths from coronavirus. I'm not advocating. Everyone keeps thinking this thing is going to burn through society and stop. You notice that?
Right!
Anyone else notice that? The people that are proponents of this, like, we should just let everybody get sick, they always had this idea of, like, the virus will get enough and be like, and you know what, that's enough, guys. I killed everybody I want to kill here, good luck. Y'all see y'all never.
That virus is like Cookie Monster. I want everybody, anybody, you, I want you, you too. Oh, I take some of you too and a little bit of you. Oh, you look juicy. It taking everybody.
I think Cookie Monster eats cookies.
What'd I say? Yeah,
you say it's like Cookie Monster.
Yes, eating the cookies.
Yeah. You say it won't. Yes, I see what you're. Yes, mm-hmm. If everybody was cookies,
Right. If everybody was cookies, the coronavirus would eat your ass up and you would be, you're delicious to coronavirus.
Yeah. The thing that's wild to me is that there's so little we know about this shit, and the little we do know says this is all terrible ideas. And
right.
Of course,
the people with the science that study this and go, well, we know how diseases are spread, like this is our forte. They go, mm-mm.
This is the danger of whiteness, though, because white people, right. And I've always said this about myself. I can't really speak for other black people, but I feel like I speak for a lot of black people when I say this, but I don't feel like the America or the American economy belongs to me in the way that white people do.
Mm-mm.
Like, they believe that their money belongs, like, they think, like, white people really do think with full authority that they own politicians and shit.
Yeah, they do.
I'm not saying this is a negative, I'm not even saying this is a positive, but there's this idea that the America is theirs, and so the economy counts as part of that. So they end up saying shit to me that's like, it's more important that this economy runs and I don't care if people die. Black people would never fucking say that, because we're like, no, my life is way more important than this economy. The economy used to be me, nigga. It used to be us. And so, you know, you and Will, like, this, like, our lives used to literally feed the economy. So no, it's not more important. The one lesson we have learned as a people is that you can't take any of this shit with you. Don't stress too much about it. Try to make the best out of it you got. And white people are the most, like, I think white people see those, I don't want to say fictional, but theoretical numbers of, you know, the GDP is at this, and the Dow Jones is this, and white people get stressed about that. White people, like, when stock markets crash, like, white people kill themselves and shit.
Right.
I think black people are just like, that number is a number, nigga. That don't mean nothing.
Don't mean nothing, and guess what? I didn't have anyway. I had nothing to lose, my nigga.
Chicken sandwich still $3.99 at Popeye's regardless. Like, this is crazy to me. They really do feel like this economy is like own, like they own this economy, or the economy is owed to them or something. Hobby Lobby, speaking of which, remember Hobby Lobby had to close down because they were trying to stay open, and they put that letter out like, don't worry about it. Well, they quietly reopened stores in at least two states to fight coronavirus related shutdowns and prompted police intervention.
Good. Also, the police came in and was like, don't I want these fucking plastic ass flowers, shut this bitch down.
On Monday, the company resumed business in several states where it had been forced to temporarily close. On March 28th, a memo obtained by Business Insider equipped managers with talking points for how to respond and communicate if visited by a local authority to ask why we are open. In a separate leaked note sent last week, executives wrote, the company is going to make every effort to continue working the employees.
Because they don't give
a fuck. Hold up. The language. Working the employees.
Right. Right.
Your work slaves. That's terminology used, slavery. Working the employee.
Right, because they don't have to get out there.
Jesus Christ. We're going to work them. You work a horse. What?
Because that's how they tell the truth about how they feel about the employees.
Ain't they? The reopening included stores in Ohio, Wisconsin.
I would be looking for a job immediately. Immediately. Mm-mm.
The reopenings included stores in Ohio and Wisconsin, which both enacted strict with shelter-in-place orders on March 24th, where nearly all Hobby Lobby locations have been reopened after shuttering for only 1 week. During calls Business Insider made to each location, employees confirmed that all 19 Hobby Lobby locations in Ohio were open as of Monday afternoon, as of 17 out of the 20 stores in Wisconsin that were listed as temporarily closed on Google. Yeah.
Who going in these damn stores?
Right. But you know what? Maybe they do. If people who shop at Hobby Lobby are like Christian people, like if their thing is like, we're gonna support these businesses, maybe you got those type of people, those like religious zealot types, or maybe it's the people that are against social distancing that showed up at the capital of Michigan, or maybe it's those people. They showing up with guns and motherfucking American flags, buying all the flowers.
And I guess that's the thing that frustrates me when I was saying that they're willing to die. Like you said, no, they're not willing to die. Well, as far as I'm concerned, you're willing to die, because that's the option that you taking when you do this. So yes, you are willing to die.
That's somewhere like, let me get the red, white, and blue flowers. Okay,
all three colors.
I want to make flowers great again.
Ha ha!
Yep. So Hobby Lobby, y'all, that essential business.
Essential. Have you ever been to a Hobby Lobby?
I think so.
Yes. There's nothing essential in that place.
I'm trying to think if I've ever been to a Hobby Lobby. I think I may have once or twice in my life. And you're right. There's nothing essential in there.
Nothing.
Several countries threatened jail time for coronavirus related April Fool's pranks. Now, April Fool's already passed, but, you know, they had to jail. They was like, we will jail you. Don't fuck around.
Come on. I don't blame them. It was canceled because it's too much going on for you to be kikiing.
Louisiana pastor got arrested after holding services despite stay-at-home order.
Good.
Just stupid.
Love your flock enough to say stay at home with Jesus.
Right. Wherever two or more gathered on the internet.
Come on, touch a degree. Do your camera phone.
New York had to order Craigslist to remove ads for fake COVID-19 treatments.
What?
Yep. Had to.
They didn't have enough sense to be like, don't do this.
People out there like drink garlic and fucking, y'all seen it, you know, y'all seen this shit that people are saying. In Florida at Lake Worth Beach, they had a city commission meeting and it turned ugly over the coronavirus, y'all. Okay,
can we do better? There's always things that pop up that we can do better on, and I call the question.
I'm sorry, that's not how this works. We each have an opportunity to speak 5 minutes.
I thought we did.
Yeah, the question's been called.
I'm sorry. We've been talking. That's not how calling the question works. You need a second and you need to vote.
This person speaking right here is a black man. Just want to let y'all know.
Then I have a second for calling
the question. Are you telling me that you're going to keep me from talking right now?
You've talked all evening.
Look here. You're calling me disrespectful because I've interrupted people, but this gentleman has turned off people's lights in the middle of a global health pandemic. That's what that gentleman did.
Point of order.
And you think I'm disrespectful for interrupting?
Point of order.
This gentleman has had the ability to do any number of things. We could have banned large gatherings. We could have closed the beach. We could have put a moratorium on utility shutoffs.
I recessed.
Also not within your power, and the attorney has held that that's true.
I recessed the meeting.
You came up with new rules at the beginning of the meeting, and then you didn't even want to follow the rules that you came up with.
And you took advantage.
This is a banana republic is what you're turning this place into with your so-called leadership.
Does a recess mean that we will be...
Yes.
I don't care anything about this. We should have been talking about this last week.
Can we...
We cut off people's utilities this week and made them pay what could have been their last check to us to turn their lights on in a global health pandemic. But you don't care about that, and you didn't want to meet. But every other year, you go around and beg people for their votes.
Can we explain the
reason? You care more about your relationship with that guy than you care about the relationship with the people who don't go to work in this building.
Order, you are done. You're done. Disrespectful.
It's disrespectful is what you've done to the working people in this city.
I didn't do anything.
You failed to act.
I didn't do anything.
When you're a leader, you failed to act. You said you didn't do anything. You failed to act.
Omari,
when you had an opportunity.
Party for State House.
I don't care anything about that. You think anybody cares?
Does a recess mean that we can reconvene tonight? Yeah. Or okay. Is that in 5 minutes or?
It's when the chair comes back.
This nigga for president. I don't even know his name.
Them two dudes in the back going, what does this mean? Does that mean we're going to continue? I don't actually know what's happening right now.
So are the, does this mean the Tostitos pizza rolls will not be delivered at 7:15?
I mean, are we still going to have chicken wings at 9?
Is my parking pass still going to be validated, at the end of the meeting?
All I want to know.
Will we still be out by the time that the Daily Show airs? Because I've been
That's
watching
my show.
The Daily Show, and guys, I don't want to miss it. they was worried about some cold, total other shit in their house.
They didn't give a fuck about what them two were arguing about.
Guys, we still playing golf Sunday. Just putting it out to the room. Okay. Yeah. Tax day got postponed to July 15th.
Yeah, it's too much going on. Ain't nobody think about no April 15th, which is actually today.
Mm-hmm. So taxes would have been due today, and we all got a little reprieve. Because what are taxes anymore, right? Another thing what that we're just getting.
What are taxes?
Man, some of this is so old. I'm glad I waited to report on it or to talk about it, because I don't really give a fuck anymore. Vanessa Hudgens had to apologize because she made some insensitive comments on her Instagram Live about the fate of coronavirus patients. Yeah, till July sounds like a bunch of bullshit. I'm sorry, it's a virus. I get it. I respect it. But at the same time, I get it. I respect it. Underrated line.
I get it. I respect you, coronavirus.
Okay, listen.
I tip my hat to you, coronavirus.
It's corona. It's a virus. Like, I get it. I respect that. You know what I'm saying? No, I respect your status as a virus.
I respect you, G.
If you want to identify as a virus or even a germ or like whatever.
I mean, bacteria, however you want to be named.
I respect your lifestyle choices and decisions to be a virus.
I understand, you know, whatever you decide to do.
Whatever pronouns you want me to recognize you as a virus, I got you, okay?
I mean, I got you. I understand. However you decide to divide your numbers.
No disrespect to coronavirus, but you know what I'm saying? I just feel like HIV is just a much better like situation, but okay, whatever. But at the same time, like, even if everybody gets it, like, yeah, people are gonna die, which is terrible, but like, inevitable, she said. She obviously knew the comments would cause a stir. She quickly followed up with, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't be doing this right now. Send.
right, because you had to post it, not unless she was doing it
She probably was on Instagram Live.
Okay.
She probably was on Instagram Live. Tuesday on Twitter, many people felt her rant was a result of her missing Coachella, which was canceled, along with many other major concerts and sporting events in an effort to slow the spread. In response to the heavy scrutiny she faced, Hudgens once again took the Instagram to respond with a lighthearted take on the situation. It's a crazy time. It's a crazy, crazy time. I'm at home in lockdown, and that's what I hope. That's what you guys are doing too. In full quarantine and staying safe and sane. Yeah, I don't take this situation lightly by any means. I'm at home. So stay inside, y'all. However, once she realized that half-assed apology was not going over well, she took to Twitter to offer up a more sincere recognition of her insensitive comments, writing, I'm so sorry for the way I've offended anyone and everyone who has seen the clip from my Instagram Live yesterday. I realize my words are insensitive and not at all appropriate for the situation our country and the world are in right now. This has been a huge wake-up call about the significance of my words have now more than ever. I'm sending safe wishes to everyone to stay safe and healthy during this crazy time. Thank you to my PR agency. Oh man, that's crazy.
I'm trying to save me, which means save they money.
Elon Musk said he will make ventilators if needed for coronavirus patients, but they asked Gavin Newsom about that shit today. He was like, man, them shits ain't got here. Like, we ain't got no motherfucking Elon Musk ventilators and shit. This nigga lying. Governor Cuomo halted collection of student loans in New York.
Cuomo on it.
Cuomo, I'm sorry. Oh, I always
Cuomo,
say it wrong.
Cuomo, I'm sorry.
I say it wrong. Nah, it's not my fault. So, yep. All right, let's move into some other news, guys. Try to get out of this coronavirus segment. Bernie Sanders says opposing Biden is irresponsible. Talk to your people.
It really is.
They really the ones, you know.
I mean,
doing it.
My thing, you know, when people go the choices, you know, between picking two quote unquote evils, one is eviler, and that can't be denied. So I don't understand. You know, it's one of those things where it's very frustrating because. Not a lot, but a small portion of his supporters that are very loud, they're gonna stand without him. So like you said before, does he really run his group of people? I don't think he runs them. They're like, we don't give a fuck if you're here or not, we're still gonna stand by these things. So that meant it was never really about him,
right? Yeah, and I think it's just, you know, I've always said I don't have a problem with Bernie Sanders. I think his people are pretty much the issue with his campaign, and I think if there's any issue with Bernie Sanders, it's been the fact that he doesn't seem to be able to control his people, and
they don't fall in line.
Yeah. And I think that's a major fucking issue, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And then they'd be like, well, we came in here, we bullied everybody and made it bad in the room and everybody turned on us. But then why don't y'all vote for, because you came in a room stumping and kicking everybody and smacking everybody and then looked at everybody like, what y'all mad for? And people was like, well, bitch, you hit me. No, I'm not going to vote for your person.
Yeah. My thing is less of that, but more about the fact that they seem to be, they seem to be really committed to not to winning the election. They seem to be committed to being pure and making a point online. And him as a protest vote is not enough to win. And then they get mad at the quote unquote system that their protest vote didn't win. But that's what a protest is. You know, I've been very sober about this shit for years. Like, I think, especially as black people, we can get caught up in protest movements because obviously we agree with most of these protests, right? We get the point. We protest has done so much for us. But at the same time, a protest is a protest because it's not the mainstream line of thought. And at some point, people just start treating it like a protest is supposed to be the thing everyone understands and agrees with. No. Colin Kaepernick taking a knee is a protest moment. Protest means people aren't going to be cool with it. Protest means there will be backlash. The expectation that they would just fucking snap to it and get it is kind of like, well, that's what keeps setting you up for disappointment. There was I remember when the day that marriage equality passed and there was a press conference at the White House and a trans activist interrupted the White House press conference to be like, but what about trans people that are in detention and in the wrong like gender assigned holding cells and shit like that, or just in isolation and stuff because we don't know where to hold them for immigration? And people were, so a lot of straight people, a lot of shit, cishet people, gay people too, got mad and started, said, shut the fuck up, we don't like that, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, that's not really, you know, fair. That's like, just because you're celebrating progress in one area doesn't mean that you forget everybody else.
Right. And but then, that's progress to a lot of people.
Right. And then the second part was, I thought Obama handled it well because essentially you're being heckled live, unprompted, unprepared, for some issue you really don't have the moment to understand, because you know he's like, no, let them speak, I want to hear what they're saying, what, and you know, and the security has a job to do, they're like, no, this motherfucker gotta get out of here. And people's like, I'm mad about this and that. And I remember there's still this person, I can't remember their name on Twitter, but they had me blocked after this because I was like, yeah, that situation basically went down like it's supposed to go.
Right.
A person made, they knew they were a protester, they knew, mm-hmm. Like, what did you expect?
They had been prepared to get kicked out. That was the whole purpose.
Yeah, but what did you expect? I come in here, start heckling. It wasn't a heckle of the protest. It was a protest using heckling. Someone was on a mic and you just start yelling and shit. That's what a pro, it's okay. For all this stuff is real and all of it's true. This is not making the issue invalid or any of that. But of course, you know, the person ended up getting mad and blocking me and shit. But the point I was trying to make was, dog, just being accurate with the idea that protest is a thing, that the reaction to the protest is a thing, mm-hmm. That all this stuff is real. This, and you should come in there expecting that.
Right.
That's part of using the tools, you know. Even when protesters get to take the stage, look at what they do and what they have to say. It's not really, the event's not for them. So all the optics that they're gonna use those optics, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember when, Netroots, I think, had a thing and Black Lives Matter protesters showed up and they got to take the stage, even they got to like lead a chant and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, like, they're not there. The people who showed up to see Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, and Mike O'Malley or whoever it was, they're not there for Black Lives Matter. They're not gonna sit there and let it become a Black Lives Matter rally and shit. Like, mm-mm. They're gonna be there like, man, what the fuck is this, you know? And but I came to hear what this candidate has to say about X issues and stuff. But that's what protest does. It disrupts and it you know, like, it challenges, it does those things on purpose, right. And so all that to say, with Bernie Sanders, he was essentially a protest vote. except his people acted like, well, then obviously everyone's down with this. Then it's not a protest vote. You know, like that, then it's ridiculous if you think like, yes, we're all so fed up in the same exact way for Bernie Sanders, about Bernie Sanders, and for the, we're all down with him now. No, you still have the same percentage you had in 2016, and you had in 2008, and you had 2012, and you had before that. Like, there's the same percentage of people that have always believed these things, but there's a reason that those aren't mainstream, ideas for a lot of people. And that's right. Part of the sacrifice of a Bernie Sanders and of his people is that maybe you keep sacrificing until it becomes a mainstream idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe you insert yourself into making Joe Biden be like, $15 an hour is the minimum wage increase we need, and same thing for all the other candidates. So he's done some great work, but at the end of the day, I think as people were just kind of delusional about this idea that he was just gonna like ascend to the throne without ever having to build alliances anywhere. And so, you know, there were people I've already seen kind of turn on him, people that supported him being like, this motherfucker sold out, and what do you mean vote for Biden and all this shit. And it's because they spent so much time online demagoguing Biden into this motherfucking like evil person who does all the evil shit, and Bernie's a saint and blah blah blah. And because they did that, now they can't go back and be like, okay guys, you know what, Bernie says we need to support this guy. He says getting Trump out of office is more important than that.
And my thing, what else did they think he was gonna do? Of course
he said he was gonna do it at the beginning of the fucking race, and they didn't listen. They don't listen to him. They don't, he can't control them. Like I said, if there's one weakness of this man, is how out of touch he is even with his own supporters. And it's why I can't take him seriously as a presidential candidate, and I can't really take them seriously as political people, because essentially they have no organization. You know, it's all a bunch of people trying to use symbolism that at the end of the day, they're not prepared to win, they're not prepared to rule, they're not prepared to govern. And that's, you know, that's a negative thing. Anyway, he did come out and say that, but I just don't think it matters to his people, because you know, virtue signaling online is going to always be more important. All right, let's get to some fucking with black people. Fucking bring the music back up, guys. But yeah, let's get to some fucking with black people, and we'll get into some other stuff. We got a late start tonight. Sorry, I took a nap. Had to pick up a mask from my mom's house. You guys know how it is. You know the vibes. All right, fucking with black people. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe makes us feel fucked with. And, I mean, goes all around the globe. We find different articles that make us feel fucked with. And we assign point scores from 0 to 100 intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. Up first. Black fishing. Black is cool unless you're actually black.
Come on.
So anyway, this goes a long way, but the main thing is, guys, Selena Gomez is being accused of black fishing, everyone. Monday night, Interview Magazine dropped their new cover on Instagram, a hyper urban shot of singer Selena Gomez, y'all's least fave. With her tongue sticking out, dressed in black boots, leggings, and a Balencia X-rated top. On her head, the singer sported a braided hairstyle with baby hair edges. The Hispanic Gomez is also appeared to have a darker complexion than she would normally have. She is done letting people control her narrative, the magazine wrote in the caption below. And yet the cover image styling appeared to show the singer appropriating from one another culture completely. This is blackfishing, y'all. Wake up, read one comment under the cover image. While the website Pop Crave tweeted the question, why is Selena Gomez trying to be black? Featuring pictures from the interview shoot. Here's a picture, Karen.
I see it. And mm-hmm. I guess I have several questions. Mm-hmm. She took those photos. Somebody else probably did the coloring, or I'm assuming somebody else probably mm-hmm. darkened her. Mm-hmm. You know, because they edit and Photoshop and all types of shit.
Ain't she the one that black people don't like? I feel like she was the one.
If she is, it ain't. Yeah,
she the one that always be saying stuff like,
yeah, you say
kind of antagonistic towards black people.
You know, once you go on a list, people just like everything is your fault, even if it ain't your fault.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, that was Selena Gomez, Karen, 0 to 100.
I don't care. Zero. I'm sorry.
Zero. Okay. I'm gonna go with 75. Now I normally go light on Selena Gomez because I mostly think the animosity at this point is built up so much that like she breathes and motherfuckers can't wait to be down her neck. But this time, dog, she looked motherfucking like she has to know her reputation at this point.
Somebody says that Gina Rodriguez.
I am thinking about the wrong. I told y'all I always get them confused. Damn, Karen, you right.
No spit in the chat.
Oh yeah, zero then. I don't care.
Yeah,
My bad. I thought it was a girl, Gina Rodriguez, which is me being racist. So zero.
I don't care.
100 for me.
About her or her baby hairs.
100 for me for getting two Latina women confused, but zero for Selena Gomez. I had no problems with her. You know, I think also is this weird thing. Like, so do Latina women not do the baby hair thing? That's only black women that do that. So I can't tell on the internet sometimes, because also I don't know, her fans came to her defense, and so they had a picture from her from when she was like a 3-year-old in 1999, and she had the same hairstyle and she looked dark,
and it might be the texture of her hair. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes I have to look at stuff and view
like it's
come
weird,
up with my own opinion, because
like let me slap it down like this, y'all, with this white supremacy shit. Okay, it's weird in a way because a lot of Latina women do not really they do not really get to express the way that they truly are until they kind of establish themselves in many cases.
Yep.
And so people think this only applies to like black people for some reason, but I guarantee you there's like a pressure for brown people to also pass the white supremacy test and to lighten their skin and to Photoshop this and that and to get their hair straightened and all this stuff. And then what happens is that, much like black artists, because let's not try to act like we so above approach, once you get established, you start letting it a little bit like, okay, this is what my hair really look like. This is my real skin tone. This is like, but you need to be established because on the way in, you got to play the game. So I wouldn't be too shocked if she looked like this as a kid, blew up, and was like, okay, the people are styling you, people are giving you image consultants and shit, and straighten your hair, lighten your skin, wear this clothes, don't accentuate that. J-Lo went through it. And what the sad part to me is that black and brown people always end up hating these folks for this shit. And when they pivot back, it's like, this don't belong to you. But if, like I said, the pictures I saw of her as a child, she looks just like this. Like, I'm talking skin tone and the hair. Like, there's no difference. So I don't know.
And my thing is this is why on some certain things I have to ignore you Negroes. Black people ain't the only people with baby hairs. We don't have a lockdown on baby hairs.
Yeah, so I don't know, man.
And it's the texture of hair. It's black people that have texture of hair.
I can see an argument though about the baby hair thing, because as a stylistic choice, there are people that don't have it, and then they rock it for fashion. You know, like a Kim Kardashian didn't grow up with the baby hair thing. Doing that for some photo shoot, I can see why black women would be like, well, fuck this person.
Go ahead.
So I can see how they would be that way. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know that Latina women don't do the baby hair thing. I think that's just something that, you know, I think now we're at a point where on the internet, people see shit, they get outraged, they immediately jump to, this is 100% just outrage and offensive and on purpose. And I think context kind of strips those arguments, so they don't want to talk about context. And for me, what it was, I looked at this article, and then they had a picture from her fans of her as a kid, and I was like, that looks like the same little girl. So maybe she went through, I don't know what all Selena worked on, but, you know, maybe she went through a point where they was like, you know, the people at Disney or Nickelodeon or whatever the fuck was like, no, 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 no. We can't sell that type of Latina to people, but now she's a little bit more in control of her image and shit, and she's like, I don't care what you think, you know? Right.
And you never really know, but like you said, people, a lot of people just jump to the worst. They always assume your intentions are the worst.
Yeah, I just think it depends on the person, you know. Okay, it's always, depends on the person, you know, because I could, right. like I said, when the Kardashians do it, I can get why people be like, nah, like that's not your culture at all. You know what I'm saying? Now, even with them, you know, to a certain extent, some of the shit. Sometimes I don't understand what people get upset with them, but then sometimes it's like kind of blatantly obvious. Like,
correct.
Okay, yeah, this is, you know. You know, them, I don't know, them trying to rock like braids and cornrows for the 97th time. I get why people be like, bitch, we done told you, you know, but yeah, I don't know. This one didn't bother me as much. Mm-hmm. Well, once I realized it wasn't, you know, the other
Gina Rodriguez. Yeah,
the other woman I always get her confused with. God, that's so racist. Why can't I stop that? It's a little, hold on, let me go to the next one. Let's see here, because that's not even about black people. How'd they get over there? Pics taken with Confederate flag on mascot offensive to minority students.
What?
Harrisburg school administration is looking into an incident in which a senior at Hickory Ridge High School took photos on a statue of a school mascot with Confederate flag featured in the photo. I don't know if we're still small on people's screen or not. I know people a lot of times say that when I put stuff on the screen it turns it small. I'll see.
Probably through the app.
But yeah, I put the picture in the chat. The photos which appeared on Instagram but have since been deleted have been met with anger from the school's minority population. Yeah, Confederate flag sitting on the old mascot. It looks to be a girl, a white girl, on the riding the bull.
Ooh, a big ass flag too.
Mm-hmm.
What does she think? She a matador? Isn't that right?
Sure. Big flag energy. I think matadors dodge bulls, but she did have the flag. Like maybe she was trying to attract the bull with the Confederate flag.
That's what I was thinking, and it has red.
And there's a black bull. The photo, which appeared on Instagram, has since been deleted. I wish that I could overlook the Confederate flag as a symbol of Southern pride and heritage, but unfortunately, the color of my skin does not garner me the privilege to simply ignore its disgusting use throughout history, said a minority student at Hickory Ridge. Although this student has the freedom to overlook the flag's hateful history, I believe it is an absolute joke that they would dare to face our school mascot with that racist symbol. Shout out to that woke kid.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody been reading a little extra outside of school.
Somebody parent got a hold of them and was like, you will not be out there saying dumb shit.
The post appears to be less than 2 days old before it was taken down. There were more than 400 comments posted. The school and the district are looking into the situation. Cabarrus County Schools Administration is aware of the photos that were posted. And
that's
is,
here, ain't it? Maybe not. When you
said Harrisburg.
When you said Cabarrus County, I was like, we got a Cabarrus County here.
There's got to be a lot of Cabarrus counties in
America. That's
what
I was thinking.
So I don't think this was here. Anyway, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, 100. Because they're talking about looking. Matter of fact, Dracars, we're looking into it. The fuck?
You mean you're doing nothing?
Her picture's right there. You know if the bitch went to your school or not.
Come on!
Like, what are we even discussing right now? Can you imagine? This motherfucker. We're gonna do a lot of rigorous investigation. The picture is right. The face is in the photo, okay? The price is on the can, though.
The price is on the can!
What are we talking about? Jesus Christ. People are motherfucking ridiculous. Let's see. A white Florida sheriff's deputy. Wow. That's just like four words in a row that you know this is going to be 100.
Hey, guys. Get ready. White Florida sheriff's deputy.
Okay,
are you sitting down?
That's how we're starting it. Turn TikTok star with insensitive video spark.
TikTok star. Okay,
spark a race debate all on the TikToks. And once
ticketing times getting folks in trouble, folks losing their jobs. Did we do the one with them people dancing when they're supposed to be packing your bags on the plane?
Man, these people really be trying to do it for the gram.
Y'all
for their job.
Y'all better stop that bullshit.
Like, why do y'all be playing with y'all? Do y'all hate employment that bad?
Right.
People out here trying to keep the little bit of job they can, and these motherfuckers out here like, you know what?
Let me do a little dance.
Let me hop on TikTok in my police uniform. In one small Florida county, coronavirus has been briefly upstaged by the aftermath of an exclusive DailyMail.com story about a white local sheriff's deputy producing TikTok videos stuffed with the N-word and deemed by black leaders to be racially insensitive. In Indian River County, home of the rich Atlantic beach town of Vero Beach, the incident gave rise to thousands of comments on social media that fell on two sides of the racial divide. White commentators, including business leaders and law enforcement officials, who said they don't get why anyone would make a big deal out of the videos. White people always have not to make a big deal out of, don't they? Y'all ever notice that one? Something racist happened to black people, but white people are like, hold on guys, I'm here to clear this up. Not offensive. All right, I think we're done here, right guys? Okay blacks, I let you guys know I'm calling the balls and strikes on this one. That's fair. Meanwhile, black commentators, including local politicians who are trying to explain why the video posted by law enforcement professionals are offensive to them. Don't waste your time. The story. The amount of Negro energy wasted and expended on white people who refuse to get it is,
I don't have the time.
All time high. The story exposed Indian River County Sheriff Deputy Michael Dilks, who in his uniform at the wheel of his marked SUV and at times with Heidi Dilks, his medical tech wife, lip-synced spoken lines from black actors or hip-hop tunes, using a variety of racist and sexist terms like nigga and bitch. Okay, let's check these out, guys.
This message lasts 2 minutes.
This is for Rachel, you big, fat, white, nasty, smelling fat. Why you took me off the schedule with your trifling, dirty, white, racist ass, big, fat.
You're listening to the radio.
Thanks for tuning in to WKC, playing all the oldies from the 10s and 20s. Let's take you on a journey back in time to the year 2019.
Real ass, big. Breaking bag. 5, 6 figures.
Like I know it would. I feel good.
Hey, 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 hey.
Hey, what's up, hey, man?
Why are you so happy back there and I'm taking you to jail?
Hey, man, I'm so happy, bro. When you're taking me, I got 24 hours away from my wife.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Word. And they thought this was all good. This nigga up here with his fucking badge number flashing in the TikTok. The hell is this? The hell is this?
Oh man. All of this police car. She got her medical tech stuff on. Wow. An exclusive interview.
We don't find this offensive, guys. Bitch, what?
Don't worry, guys. White people don't find it offensive, so I think we all have to chill out here.
Nobody gives a fuck what you think, white person.
In an exclusive interview earlier this month, Dilks admitted to producing a few of the videos while on duty. Saying that 95% of them were produced off duty and posted to 60,000 plus TikTok followers. A surprisingly large audience for a small town producer. Wow. So people really fuck with this. You know what that mean? If you had that many followers, a lot of black people probably like this. They don't have no problem with it. I mean, it's gotta be 60,000. It can't only be white people, racist white people that like this. Gotta be a lot of black people that feel like they the white cool couple. She did have a look about her like she might be a pog, so you know, a lot of brothers probably excusing this. But hey. Friday's article appeared to hit a raw nerve in a place just north of Palm Beach where racism is rarely talked about but lived daily by minorities. Authorities here are still working on desegregating schools more than 50 years after the U.S. Supreme Court ordered school boards nationally to use forced busing to make sure minorities had good access to good institutions. And just 3 years ago, the Indian River County School Board refused to vote for a ban of Confederate flags on high school students' jackets and students' cars. Now the sheriff's office finally admitted to an inquiry into Dilks' handiwork as many of the 150,000 residents took to social media to sound off.
Yeah, you did it. You did some of this shit on the clock, which means you took my fucking tax money to make racist shit.
Take Matt Fulcher, for example, a white adjunct professor in business at Indian River County State College. Fulcher got into a Facebook back and forth with former school board candidate Merchon Green, who is black. Fulcher writes, racist? Can someone explain to me what is racist about his videos? Because if they in fact are, the other million viewers, users of TikTok singing the same songs are also racist. Classic, if they can say it.
They love that bullshit, yeah. Don't they?
If they can say it, why can't we? If it's racist for white people to say, it's racist for black people to say?
No.
Green replies, of course you wouldn't consider it racist because it's not your race being targeted. Maybe you should take some cultural competency training. When reached later by phone, Fulcher said he has seen many police officers post the same content on social media. Because one person feels attacked is not a reason to label the man Dilks a racist, he said. Oh, many police officers. Well, if all the police agree that it's funny to mock black people, then I mean, you kind of have to let it go. The Facebook fray was joined by Leroy Smith, a black retired sheriff's lieutenant whose storied career saw him take over the Indian River County Sheriff's Internal Affairs Bureau. We, black people, are in a constant struggle to be treated fairly, he wrote in his Facebook post. Our governing educators don't think we deserve a fair education and have fought against the desegregation order for over 50 years. What does this have to do with a senior officer depicting black people as happy criminals? Everything. How he depicts a race of people denotes how he disrespects them, and sadly, he and his co-workers don't know it. Remember, he took an oath to serve and protect, not ridicule and disrespect. The moral compass of law enforcement officers must be intact at all times. Then current sheriff's
old-ass man speech.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he been in the shit. He was in internal affairs, so, you know, he was out here catching the white people. Then current sheriff's office employee Paul Button, who is white, wrote, you are in a continuous fight with being treated unfairly, just as everyone else in this country.
Mm-mm, it's not the same.
Y'all. The white people are amazing.
The audacity.
You know they were saying that back during slavery, too. I understand that you don't like being a slave, but you know what? I don't like paying taxes. So it's like we both in a fight together.
No, bitch, it ain't the same.
Anyway, back to work, Leroy. The sheriff's office officials, included Sheriff Daryl Lohr and Public Information Officer Eric Flowers, refused to provide Daily Mail with basic information about the deputy's career, current employment status, or whether he's under investigation. Neither commented on whether their agency condones deputies in uniform posting on social media.
Who should have policy that no?
Yeah.
It would make sense that you don't do it on the clock.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyway, Karen, 0 to 100.
Oh, this get a Dracarys. I'm
Dracarys.
Not happy at all.
Yeah, I say Dracarys as well. This is pretty terrible. The thing is, man, like I see how people could see the videos and find them funny. I'm not even trying to be like. So like all the people that seen this was racist. I think what happens is you don't know or don't care or you just don't think about it. But I think definitely his position as a police officer and hers as a medical professional in two industries where we know black people are consistently discriminated against and often end up dead, receiving not the adequate care that we're supposed to in the hands of either of these forces. That's definitely bothers me as a black person to see them thinking it's funny to quote unquote act black. The other thing is, I don't really see the humor in the video as being sophisticated or like very, like it's not very funny. It's very much just look at white people with black voices coming out of their face.
Correct.
Like it's not some like, oh my God, what a genius type level. Like, you know, like today I saw a TikTok video where these two black kids, remixed the song and made references about staying inside the house and all this shit. Now that's genius to me because I'm like, look at this. They like had to come up with the lyrics, the music, they shot the video, they filmed the scenes, they had little dances. Like that's like to me genius. This shit right here is just basically the gag of I'm a white person and I'm, you know, voicing Megan Thee Stallion, you know.
Right, and to me, maybe, like I said, it could be my sensitivity, but the whole time I was like, oh, y'all mocking. Like I can see shit and be like, okay, that's genius. But no, from the beginning, it was just a big ass mockery.
Yeah, there were no levels to this shit to truly bring us to like the funny in it.
Right, and I can see funny shit when it happens. Like I was looking for that, but I was like, no. This isn't you trying to be clever or funny or cute. This was, oh, I'm just going to quote unquote pick.
Right, you know. So at a time when we're being literally blamed for like dying from coronavirus and shit, it just, I don't know, it hits different, guys. All right, let's see, where are we at? An hour and a half. Let's switch it up, guys. Let's do a little bit of white people news. All right.
Yay.
Yeah, it's been a while. Try to do some do something fun here, lighten up the week since we aren't doing Walking Dead recap. I always try to start with a little bit of a cover. Like I said, running out of black people covering white songs, so I'm just gonna go back to the old faithful, some of the old save videos I have of white people.
Aww.
Doing, I'm so sorry, Karen. Okay.
Aww, I guess I need to help you, sir.
Yeah, so I appreciate all the help you've been doing over here.
I have not been helping, but I will start.
Okay. Oh, that was it. That was, she, I actually didn't go into to the verse. Oh man, woo boy, that was Lizzo's Jerome.
She all off pitch.
Yeah, my favorite part was when she didn't say take your ass home. She was like, take your ass home.
Your,
it was so proper.
Instead said, take your ass home.
Yeah, it's only, like, have you heard this song before, ma'am? That's not,
she got a, she had a phone, she was trying to read the lyrics.
Right? Like all the souls go. Can't believe you niggas question her blackness, by the way. Fuck you.
Look. Listen. Shut up. Jerome, Jerome, take your ass home and come back when you're grown. Jerome, Jerome, go on.
Oh God, I love that woman.
What? And she could sing her ass off.
Can't believe you nignogs disrespected my queen. Oh, I never forgive y'all. Anyway, that's y'all's man. Let's talk about Trump for a second. Joe Rogan said he'd vote for Trump over Biden. Only Bernie Sanders fans think this is a good thing.
No shit. People could have 100 motherfuckers could have told y'all that.
You mean the racist transphobic dude with over? Oh, that's interesting. Interesting. Remember when they were telling us we need Joe Rogan in the party? People like him. I'm like, yeah, guess what would have happened if Bernie would have won? He was gonna still vote for Trump. You dummies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you put out videos endorsing him, showing that he endorsed you, and then you wonder why you swung down south and people was like, oh, fuck you and Joe Rogan too.
Trump's popularity bump may have already plateaued ahead of schedule. People say he was gaining approval from his daily press conferences, but it looks like that's starting to wane.
Yeah, because motherfuckers is tired of these goddamn daily press conferences. No, I don't give a fuck. I'm not watching them.
Trump retweeted a call to fire Dr. Fauci. We talked about that yesterday. Donald Trump calls damning IG report on hospitals lacking medical gear another fake dossier. He also has said that medical staff were hoarding the mask for themselves.
The fuck?
He also signed an order encouraging the U.S. to mine for minerals on the moon. Not a joke.
Oh, who gonna do a Space Force coast to coast?
Space Force? Yeah. I think Space Force is gonna go do it, suppose. I don't know. Can you own the moon?
No.
Because we put the flag on it first, is it ours now?
Mm-mm.
Like the moon, we claim the moon for the United States? Is that how this works?
Mm-mm. Get up there and cause pollution on it too? No.
Like, good grief, man.
If I was the moon, I'd be like, stay away. I know the moon rises up every night, go, look at them people.
My nigga said the moon, bruh.
To the moon.
Get some of the moon minerals.
What the fuck we gonna do with moon minerals?
The cure for coronavirus might be in the moon, Karen. Donald Trump freezes all U.S. funding for the World Health Organization. And after defunding all these other organizations that regulate shit, I'm not surprised. Mm-mm. You know.
He don't like them coming and saying, you doing stupid shit.
Yeah, his shit is basically get down or lay down. So, you know, he's basically like, if y'all want back everything I say, if y'all niggas gonna keep coming out here saying the truth and shit, it's going against my agenda. So, I'ma defund your shit. We not giving you no more money. Let's see. He ordered his name printed on the stimulus checks.
What?
So
people to actually get the physical check.
Yeah, and so it actually is gonna take longer for people to get the checks because they gotta go back and put his name on the checks. This
nigga. So he can come and be like, "Well, you people got the Donald Trump checks because I you know, for me personally, it is a very great check."
But you know, it's not his check because it ain't gonna bounce. It's a government check. This motherfucker giving you your own tax money back, but putting his name on it.
Don't nobody give a fuck about you being on it.
Some people will, though. It's going to work on some people. They're going to be like, this is a Trump check. You know, Diamond and Silk can't wait to be out there like, Mr. Trump.
I'm so glad most people, I know, I'm assuming we got direct deposit. That way we don't have to worry about it, no physical check.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, it's Dominic Silk gonna be dancing around them checks.
Oh, people gonna be taking pictures with them checks online.
He named WWE. I'm sorry. I know it's serious, but he's so ridiculous, man. He named WWE's Vince McMahon as advisor to restart the U.S. economy. Not the Onion.
Ain't that the same dude that we're gonna do the Island?
No. Oh, no, wrong that's person? Dana White from no, WWE is wrestling.
Oh, wrestling.
Dana White's
okay,
with
the MMA. Yeah.
This motherfucker's like, Vince, I know the XFL just folded. I know the XFL just folded. Can you help me restart the economy? Berlin had a leak that let the mask slip on their feelings for Trump.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that I forget how it leaked. Oh, it was a ship container. No. I forget how. Yeah, hold on one second. Actually, let's go to the next segment and then we'll go into it. All right. If Germans don't trust President Donald Trump before the coronavirus outbreak, if they didn't, the crisis has convinced them that his unyielding America First instinct puts other countries and their citizens at risk. That such accusations should emanate from Berlin, a city the U.S. saved from Soviet domination during the Berlin airlift, underscores the depth of distrust for the American president. This isn't the hour for the will of the strongest to prevail, but for solidarity and cooperation, said German conservative Norbert Röttgen, chairman of the Parliament Foreign Affairs Committee and a candidate to succeed Angela Merkel as chancellor. Even as Washington has scrambled to debunk the story and a similar unsubstantiated tale involving mass bound for France last week, it's been tough going because the Berlin is alleging sounds just like something Trump would do. So I think what they're saying is that the U.S. stole masks that was supposed to go to Berlin. Yeah. So
what the fuck are they gonna do with all these? They taking them from the States. What are they gonna do with all these goddamn masks?
Yeah, I was supposed to go to Berlin, and the flight was the masks were redirected at the last minute, and so they're like, they let it slip like fuck Trump. The 11 wildest lines from Donald Trump utterly childish letter to Chuck Schumer. Thank you for your Democrat public relations letter and incorrect sound bites, which are wrong in every way. He's such a child. Vice President Pence is in charge of the task force. By almost all accounts, he has done a spectacular job. The Defense Production Act has been consistently used by my team and me for the purchase of billions of dollars worth of equipment, medical supplies, ventilators, other related items. We've given New York many things, including hospitals, medical centers, medical supplies, record numbers of ventilators, and more.
No, none of this is true.
As you are aware, the federal government is merely a backup for state governments. Unfortunately, your state needed far more of a backup than most others. If you spend less time on your ridiculous impeachment hoax, which went haplessly on forever and ended up going nowhere except increasing my poll numbers. Wow. Instead, focus. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
That's all he cares about.
He's just trumping. You guys know what he do. He was trumping. Oh, man. That dude, boy. All right. Let's get to the lighter, brighter, betterer white people news. Okay. Let's talk about these whites. It's time to relax. White people have they just have it a lot better, and sometimes you guys gotta see what they're up to, guys, because they're up to some great stuff over there. Reese Witherspoon's Draper James was slammed after teachers disappointed by dress giveaway. It was a giveaway with the best of intentions, free dresses to uplift the spirits of teachers attempting to teach from home amid the upheaval of the coronavirus epidemic. Okay. But Reese Witherspoon's Draper James company is under fire for misleading educators after about 250 of the more than 1 million who submitted their details were sent a free dress. In an Instagram post announcing the giveaway, the clothing company explained that they wanted to say thank you to teachers for working harder than ever to educate our children. The post continued to show our gratitude. Draper James would like to give teachers a free dress. While the post referred to winners, it was not made completely clear that the dresses were in limited supply. Teachers shared the post far and wide, encouraging their peers to grab a dress. Oh, they thought everybody was getting a dress.
Oh.
Those who applied were directed to an online form where as part of the question they had to submit their school ID. Here it was stated that the giveaway was while stocks last, but not how many dresses were available. By the time applications closed, nearly a million teachers had filled the form and just 150 were successful. According to an article in the New York Times, the number of applicants was around 7 times the total number of dresses Draper James sold in 2019. So it was impossible for them to supply this anyway.
Right.
Unsuccessful applicants were sent discount codes for the website, which sells multiple dresses for around $135 mark. Flooding Draper James Instagram with complaints, teachers said it hadn't been clear that the post was advertising a competition and they had expected to receive a dress. One even wrote, "Great way to capitalize on a pandemic." Another complaint, out of 535 teachers on social media page on Facebook, not even one got a free Draper James dress. What in the what? After the competition ended, Draper James wrote on Instagram, "We were so excited to reward 250 teachers across the United States with a free dress. We love educators all over the world for what they do every day, but especially right now." Yeah, I mean, that's so white. the whole thing, like even the argument, the entitlement to, we thought we was getting a dress,
right?
Like,
y'all think
y'all thought they had $1,135 dresses
that's
sitting
what
around
saying us are everybody wasn't gonna get one,
like that, that's crazy to me. Let's see, Lydia Bright. You guys know Lydia Bright, right?
I do.
I don't.
Oh, I'm about to say it. You know me, you be like, yeah baby, she did such such, and I'd be like, oh okay. You know me, I don't be knowing nobody.
Yeah, I don't know who Lydia Bright is, guys. So if
I don't.
Yeah, you may know who Lydia Bright is. I don't. So I guess we're about to get introduced to her. So I'm trying to share my screen with y'all, but you know,
shout out to Three Guys on. I don't.
Yeah, but it's white people news, so you know what that means for most of these people. When we get when we get to talking about them, guys, it's gonna be a lot of
I hate to say it, I hope I don't sound ridiculous, I don't know who this man is. I mean, he could be walking down the street, I wouldn't know a thing. Sorry to this man.
So
whole lot of that over here.
She revealed last year that she was renovating a property ahead of giving birth, and Lydia Bright has given her legions of social media followers a look at her newly refurbished kitchen along with her dining room. On Instagram, the former TOWIE star, TOWIE 29 uploaded several videos where she gave her fans a look at the pristine interior of her home. Oh, there she is on the couch with a LB shirt. I guess the shirt stands for Lydia Bright. Sharing a glimpse in the kitchen, Lydia has installed white cupboards to matching her marble countertops. The floor is covered with dark brown wood, while Lydia also has a turquoise Smeg toaster and an old-fashioned kettle with a floral print of her on her cooker. Alongside the video, Lydia wrote, wow, my homepage at Lydia Bright's home has hit over 100k followers. Thanks for the love, guys. Oh. My ground floor minus the utility room. This is yet to be completed.
I like that kettle pot.
Isn't it nice?
Mm-hmm. And that stove is lit. Good God, how many buttons it got on it?
They don't have no appliances, really.
Mm-mm.
Like, they kind of...
Because they're not cooking.
They kind of not like ours. Ours got too much shit on them. Throw some of this shit away. Lydia
well, we need some of it now.
Don't... I know. You don't never want to throw it away. That's mm-mm. why we got it all. Mm-mm. Lydia then took viewers into her dining room.
Because the one time I do need it and don't have it, I'll be mad.
Lydia then took the viewers into her dining room, which features a wooden table with wicker chairs in front of a black fireplace. An oval mirror in an elegant gold frame hangs from the wall, while the reality star also, oh, reality star, so that must be a reality show.
Okay.
Also has a large giraffe stuffed animal placed next to the white cupboard. It comes after Lydia was reunited with her younger sibling on Tuesday after the coronavirus pandemic forced him to return to Britain. Following his period of isolation, Freddie wasted no time meeting his baby niece, Loretta Rose, who was born 6 weeks ago in February. Oh, there's the giraffe, stuffed giraffe.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. There's her couch, her sectional. I love me a good sectional couch.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan. The beauty took to Instagram to share an adorable video of the pair meeting for the first time after Freddie returned to the family home for lockdown. The reality star was moved to tears as Freddie picked up Loretta for a big hug and snuggle before cooing. Aww. after the newborn in her pram. I don't know what pram
the
is.
Baby.
The Bright's pram must be crib. The Brights will no doubt be pleased to have Freddie back home with them, as Lydia and sisters Georgia and Romana have been staying with parents Debbie and Dave at the family home in Essex.
Oh, somebody said it's another word for stroller or carriage.
Okay. Lydia recently, see, white people even have names for shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known.
Lydia recently shared the emotional moment she visited her grandmother with her newborn daughter amid the pandemic. In the social media clip, she's seen holding baby Loretta on the other side of Nan's window while the great grandmother waves from the inside of her home as she self-isolates. I'm glad that, you know, Lydia seems like a pretty good person, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know anything about her reality show.
Mm-mm.
Maybe she gets on there and says nigger every day. Who knows? But from this article, seemed like she got it together, you know?
From this article, yes.
Good to see her and the little baby and practicing social distancing and mm-hmm. brother self-isolating.
Following all the rules.
You know,
she ain't out there protesting.
Love it. The heartwarming video, which she shared on TikTok and Instagram, shows baby Loretta in a fluffy white coat while the song You Are My Sunshine plays in the background. Lydia explained in the caption that her family have been taking turns to visit her grand each day in hopes once the current COVID-19 crisis is tackled, people will give her more support to the elderly. She began, bringing my nan a ray of sunshine during self-isolation. I've never been so grateful to live on the same road as my grandma. We're a close-knit family, and we make sure my nan always has at least one visitor daily. However, during self-quarantine, she's been so teary with not seeing the family and being able to hug us all. Added, it made me think of all the elderly out there, even before quarantine, who don't see people on a weekly basis. Hopefully, through all this devastation, it has taught us that we must look at our elderly more. Look after our elderly more. Family means everything.
You know what? That's true. Like, mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. Like, my
right on, Lydia.
My mama is like 80 years old, and I haven't seen her in months. You know, so it makes you think. And she's, you know, she lives alone, so mm-hmm. You have to think she's there, she's alone. But she's doing fine, though. She hadn't been there. She said, I'm just eating myself to death. Just eating up everything in the house.
Yeah, and I don't even know if it's been months, really. Like, because, you know, the funeral and stuff, that wasn't that long ago.
That was in January.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, then you went a few times after that though, right?
I did. So yeah. Probably a little over a month. About 30 days.
Hilaria Baldwin says she knew she was pregnant with her fifth child before taking the test.
Oh shit.
Now Hilaria is of course Alec Baldwin's much younger wife. She announced she was pregnant with her fifth child earlier in the month. And the Hilaria Baldwin ode has now copy editor, come on Daily Mail, y'all just hitting send on this shit.
That's what happens you get out there, they don't log in.
She's now shared that she knew she was pregnant even before taking the test. I knew right away, the 36-year-old told People on Wednesday, adding, I knew before I could take a test. I've done this so many times that I didn't really know that feeling. You know, even though I knew it would be early, I started taking the test every other day to give myself kind of a sense of how far along I would be. And right when I thought it would turn positive, it did. You know why, guys? She put that leg lock on that old man. Okay? You know that's what she really saying.
And she fertile too?
She being cute about it, but she's like, listen, I made sure I got every ounce of that old semen. Okay?
Nothing was leaking out.
I sucked in there, and I said, that's another check, baby. You done fucked up. Like, I have done this so many times, okay? I have locked this nigga in. It's too old and feeble to be trying to pull out. That's over.
He ain't got the energy.
Mm-mm. It's just staying in at this point. Hilarious shared the exciting pregnancy news with fans on April 6th, but wasn't so sure how to make the announcement follow her two recent miscarriages. I was kind of cautious. I didn't really know what to say because it was so soon, even when I lost my last baby. I didn't really have the emotions. I've been through so much, and when the coronavirus came to the forefront for all of us, so I didn't want to turn the dialogue to myself. But with some encouragement from a friend, she came to the conclusion that it's okay to talk about positive things and that people would be excited to hear some good news. She's right, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, what's better news than finding this 60-year-old man that got knocked up another, you know, young thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hilaria has been adhering to lockdown laws of the four kids and husband Alec Baldwin, 60, at their Hamptons, New York home. My husband has started cooking and it's really nice, she said, adding that being stuck at home with all her kids and husband has not been that different. The health and wellness guru is a mom to Carmen, 6, Raphael, 4, Leonardo, 3, and Romeo, 1. She suffered her most recent miscarriage in November. She was pregnant with her daughter. We are really excited. We just passed the mark of when we lost the last baby, Hilaria Renee Barg, on Extra last week. Aww. I'm usually somebody that I share really early on. This time, because it happened so soon after the last and I had to collect my thoughts, I was feeling the ups and downs of my emotions from when that had just happened. Then all of a sudden the coronavirus happened and I wanted to be respectful, not to turn the conversation to myself. So I was waiting and waiting. Hilaria, who has been married to Alex since 2012, is 4 months along in her current pregnancy and announced during the Extra interview we're expecting sometime in September. In addition to his soon to be 5 children with Hilaria, Alec Baldwin shares a 24-year-old daughter called Ireland. Oh, the one he called a pig, with his first wife, Kim Basinger. Well, you know, love is a many strange and wondrous thing, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good luck to those kids. And good luck, you know, trapping this nigga. I said, listen, go.
Her trapping game tight.
Get as many as you can out of him.
Go
okay?
Big or go home.
Coronavirus could take him out, and now you got all the money. Botched star Dr. Paul Nassif, 57, announces that his wife, Brittany, 29, is pregnant.
Did you say 57 or 29?
I did say 57 or 29, Karen. Mm-hmm.
Old enough to be his grandbaby.
Maybe, you know, 30 years, about, 28 years difference, I guess. The plastic surgeon announced the pregnancy Tuesday on Instagram, where he happily posted a photo of his wife's sonogram, along with a gushing message. I'm so excited and blessed to announce that my wife, at Brittany Patakos, and I are bringing a new life into this world. The gender of the child will remain a mystery to the plastic surgeon. October can come soon enough to meet my first baby girl or my fourth baby boy. Yes, it's going to be a surprise for me. All I know is better get my diaper changing skills popped up. There's nothing like the feeling of holding a newborn, especially when it's my baby.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good for him.
Good for both of them. Okay, good for these young ladies getting one last baby out of these old men for that corona come through. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't blame you, sis.
I don't blame me.
Shore up your investments. Let me see here. There's nothing like feeling the home. Oh yeah. While the child will be the couple's first together, Nassif already shares his son Gavin, 17, and 14-year-old twins Christian and Colin with his ex-wife, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Adrian Balon. Oh man, what a small world. Weren't we just talking about her? Didn't we talk about her? Oh wait, no, Adrian Maloof. Sorry.
Okay.
Different Adrian. I don't know this white woman. Mm-mm. It's been a while. My youngest kids, my twins, just turned 14 yesterday. Obviously, it's fun to be a dad again. Little baby. So yeah, that's what you do. You wait till the other woman, the original woman that held you down, you know, wait till her uterus gets all dried up and can't put out no babies. And then you go get you a nice little young thing and, you know, start coming inside her. And next thing you know, you got more little babies running around. You go on Instagram and talk about how excited it is to be a dad and to actually, you know, care about this kid this time. You're like, now that I've established myself at 60, I'm ready to actually be a father that takes care of a child. sorry to these other children. That's them right there, you know. So good for him and Brittany, man. You know, mm-hmm. It's good to see white people doing their thing.
They like them young, don't they?
I mean, look, man, that's the thing. Money and beauty, they are attracted to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucker get some money. You know, that's why I'm scared to get rich. Okay, I'm happy right now.
You don't get rid of me and get a new model.
That's not what I want, okay? I don't want, but it seems like the only thing you can do, apparently. You become an old rich man, you got to get you a younger model of your same wife. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, is it like a secret club? Are they having interventions, motherfuckers? They just meet you, pull you to the side. Denzel, we need to talk to you. Okay.
And they put it this as long as she understands that I'm taking half, I'm good.
Yeah, that's, I just find it to be embarrassing. Maybe that's what it is. They like, listen, you embarrassing us out here holding on to your original model wife. Mm-hmm. The hell is wrong with you? You know we in the next wives club now. Get, yes. Now step it up.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take them $100 bills as I wipe my tears and sign them papers.
Are they pulling they pull Denzel to the side? Denzel, how old is your wife? Because it looked like y'all about the same age. And I don't know if I can keep hanging out with you if you gonna keep bringing this old broad to the party. I'm sorry. Somebody had to tell you.
Somebody had to.
Now listen, we have a selection of several 27-year-old women over here to pick
brand
from.
New models.
Okay. Now you got to stop bringing that old classic up in here.
All 2020s.
We are with the wave, okay? You need to get with the wave, as the kids say. That's, you know how I learned that? On the Tickety Talk. One of these little girls showed me. Mm-hmm.
That's, she was showing me how to go live and shit.
Please step it up, okay? This is getting embarrassing. This is honestly getting quite embarrassing.
I mean, you out here with that old jalopy.
I mean, sure, your wife is pretty for a 50-year-old woman. But I mean, come on. Oh man. No one talks to her now. Sarah Harding's ex Chad Johnson makes brutal dig about the star going off the grid after she quit fame and went into hiding. Sarah Harding's ex-boyfriend Chad Johnson. No, not that Chad Johnson.
Oh, I was about to say, hold on.
A white. He looked like he could have been in Color Me Bad. He made a savage dig about the star's break from the spotlight on Wednesday. The U.S. reality TV star, 32, allegedly said, no one talks to the girls aloud singer in a now deleted Instagram live with fans. Sarah and Chad embarked on a brief romance after meeting in the Celebrity Big Brother house in 2017, but split after struggling with the long distance aspect of the relationship. According to The Mirror, Chad, who first found fame on the U.S. version of The Bachelor in 2016, was asked about Sarah during a live chat with fans. He responded, do I still talk to Sarah Harding? No. No one talks to Sarah Harding. I don't know where she went. She went off the grid. Oh, that's her right there. Okay. That's a nice dress.
That is.
And I guess this is, when they were on Big Brother. I don't know if this is this the same dude?
I don't know.
I don't even know if that's the same white. Maybe. Probably. I don't know. Close enough.
You know, I don't know.
Yep. But yeah, they said she quit fame and went into hiding.
It might have been too much for her.
Following an unsuccessful music comeback. A source claims the star no longer has a manager or publicist, and her Twitter and Instagram accounts have not been updated since 2018. They also told The Mirror she has nothing going on work-wise right now and hasn't had anything in quite a while. It comes despite Sarah confirming that she was recording her debut album in California, hot on the heels of her stint in the Celebrity Big Brother house in 2017. Sarah and Chad briefly dated after romance blossomed during the time on Celebrity Big Brother, but split after just 3 months together. Speaking about their relationship on Celebrity Juice, Sarah said, I don't actually go in there looking for anyone. I didn't actually go in there looking for anything at all. I didn't look at him like that at all. The couple called it quits in November 2017, with Sarah citing the long distance aspect of the relationship as a factor. She said, it is with sadness that I can now confirm our relationship with Chad is over. The distance has proved too much of an obstacle, even though we both tried to make it work. I wish him all the best for the future and thank him for the memories we shared during a very interesting summer.
Well, somebody PR person wrote that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they didn't make it, y'all. I know we was all rooting for Sarah Harding and Chad Johnson. I know. At least I know I was when I just heard of them just now. So sad to know that those two kids couldn't work it out, you know.
Two crazy kids.
Oh man, this world, man, it just takes
what's
so
it
much.
Coming to you?
Even the whites struggle. All right, y'all, that's it. We're gonna go to some sore ratchetness and wrap this up. But thank you, whites. We appreciate y'all.
I feel good.
Police officer enforcing coronavirus lockdown in India has hand chopped off in a sword attack.
Oh, okay.
Police in India underwent more than seven. A police officer in India underwent more than 7 hours of surgery after his hand was hacked off during an attack on Sunday while he was trying to enforce the country's coronavirus lockdown.
They was like, lock this down.
Yeah, they locked down moving a little bit different. The government of the state of Punjab said on Twitter that the horrendous attack happened at a vegetable market in Patalia, located about 170 miles north of New Delhi. Man, you know, that's crazy, man. These fucking farmers markets. I thought it was bad in California. Assistant Sub-Inspector Harjeet Singh was taking part in a COVID-19 enforcement operation when he tried to stop a group of five men at the market and was attacked with a sword that severed his wrist. The officer then was rushed to the hospital and for an operation that lasted 7.5 hours. Punjab's chief minister, Captain Amarinder Singh, tweeted that the surgery was a success and the hand was reattached. Thank the entire team of doctors and support staff for their painstaking effort, wishing ASI Harjeet Singh a speedy recovery. The attack was captured on video and obtained by India Today.
Wow.
And
it's one of those things where in a lot of places around the world, it's not perfect here in America and they keep cutting it, but a lot of places don't have any type of social safety net. So them people was like, no, the fuck you ain't. If we don't do this, we're not gonna eat.
A standoff at the temple lasted about 6 hours as officers tried to negotiate with the men and then opened fire on authorities. One of the attackers was injured in exchange of gunfire.
Holy damn. Shit, they came packing.
Yeah, they had a fight at a Sikh temple 6 miles outside the market. The Punjab state government said that 11 men were eventually taken into custody. The officers also seized guns, ammunition, petrol, bombs, and large amounts of cash.
What do they plan on doing?
This could be coming to Michigan, guys. Be careful. The group of men
The group of men belonged to the Joker. They were his henchmen. The hell is this?
The group of men belonged to the Nihan Singh religious sect, a group that carries traditional arms and wears blue robes, according to Sky News. The attack happened 2 days before the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi announced an extension to the country's lockdown for 1.3 billion people until May 3rd. He said in a national address there may be some easing of restrictions after 1 week to help poor daily wage earners and those working in the agriculture section. Man. So be careful out there. It's forcing the lockdown. Motherfuckers trying to chop your hands off. Literally, just, oh man. So sad. All right, y'all. That's it. We will be back. Oh, programming note. So tomorrow morning, me and Bossy are going to review the first episode of Insecure, for This Too Much. And then Thursday afternoon, we should be doing Balls Deep. Friday night we may be doing Nerd Off, depending on everybody's schedule, but I anticipate us doing it.
Okay.
And then of course for everybody, you know, that you know, just the regular fans that aren't premium and stuff, we'll see you Saturday for feedback after that. So all right guys, until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.